U105 radio. He says everything they're on the man down except for congratulations, and he never said he despises Mexicans. That is an absolute lie.
Well, he described them as murderers and drugs runners.
Not all of them. You see, this is just an example why he got in. You see, in America, you see last week, there was a 30-minute news bulletin, sure was, regarding Trump and Hillary. There was 29 minutes of that, all about Trump and all his bad doings, and 30 seconds about the 640,000 emails that was released by WikiLeaks last week. That's absolutely outrageous. That's why you get in. You see the media, and I didn't think that you'd be the same as them. They were covered in a non-partisan, non-truthful way.
Alan, let's talk reality here.
Okay, listen to me.
You listen to me a second and let me speak to you on the issue. You're the one that's putting it up to me, so let me reply to your accusation. Hillary Clinton hasn't won, so she's irrelevant. We're talking about the President of the United States. He mocked the disabled. We saw him on the screen mock the disabled. He does despise Mexicans because you do not speak about another race the way he spoke about the race who are the Mexican people. He degraded women. This is the list that I used. He degraded women. He grabbed women by their private parts. That is about as degrading as you can get. He is a man who did, I say, call for carpet bombing of his enemies. And he also says his political opponent should be jailed. Went on to explain that he's now two-faced. He's explaining that his political opponent was someone who is actually deserving of an incredible praise. Now, let me just remind you of how two-faced he actually is, because this was him speaking about Hillary Clinton only a few days ago.
Hillary Clinton may be the most corrupt person ever to seek the presidency of the United States.
Okay, that's a few days ago. We broadcast that. This is Donald Trump an hour ago talking about Hillary Clinton, speaking about her just about an hour ago. Let's have a listen to this.
Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely.
Now, if that ain't two-faced, Alan, I don't know what two-faced is. So he has mocked the disabled, he has despised the Mexicans, he has degraded women, he has called for carpet bombing, he has wanted his political opponent to be jailed, and now he's patting her on the back. This is the President of the United States of America.
And rightly so, she should be jailed.
Well, he's
she
not...
She should be jailed for one thing, one thing alone, treason. But she sold the Russians $45 million.
Alan, you're missing my point. She is now irrelevant. I'm talking about the President of the United States. He wanted her jailed. He's now patting her on the back.
Yes, because he's now in presidential mode. He opened this show up and you couldn't say congratulations. I'll tell you what, to see if he says what he said the whole way along the election. I'll tell you what, if he does it in here, he's worth more than the 108 idiots we have up there storming. Never going to find out the truth about 911. Never going to find out about the soldiers. Never going to find out about the Bilderberg Group and all that there. OPEC, all the dodgy dealings. There's a video on YouTube last week of a hidden camera somebody had where Hillary Clinton, when she was on the phone to the FBI guy and telling him, you sort this out, if Trump gets elected, we're going to the gallows. Stick it in the YouTube, it's all there.
But Alan, he's not going to do it. Listen, did you not hear him?
40,000 emails in 2 days.
Alan.
40,000 emails. Frank, catch yourself on.
Alan, did you not hear the President of the United States this morning? Did you not hear him? Listen again. This is the woman you're criticizing. This is what the President of the United States of America said about her.
Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her.
We owe her a major debt of gratitude, Alan. You're not going to get what you're looking for.
Frank, here, listen. He has to say it. It's like getting muppets up at Stormont. They have to say good things with your one too. But personally speaking, they can't stand each other.
All right, OK. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Caroline is on this line. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Frank. I'm calling from California and I teach at Queens.
Yes, Caroline, and what's on your mind this morning? Obviously, you were able to cast your vote. What did you think of the outcome?
I'm not happy about it at all. I'm not happy what Alan has to say. But my feeling about it at this point in time, I voted for Mrs. Clinton, and I'm very disappointed that she didn't win. However, I feel that it's really important that we try to take the best possible step forward and really realize that this is what people have decided and that we have to come together as a nation. And I've been in meetings for the last few days, mainly with Clinton supporters, but also with some Trump supporters. And we're really trying to make sure that this doesn't create a larger chasm than is already in existence.
Now, Trump this morning, very conciliatory in his analysis and very modest in his acceptance speech and all of that. But Caroline, the reality is Donald Trump going into this election was seen as something of a joke. Hillary Clinton should have been an easy winner, and she was beaten in the end. I was going to say she got whacked, but she was beaten. It wasn't a massive divide, but yes, she was beaten. That says to people who are looking in from the outside that Hillary Clinton must be incredibly unpopular.
Well, I think that's probably, I think there are a couple of other parts in that are very important to mention at this point, and that is that the organization, as far as making sure that the minority vote had access to the polling places, was not as successful as it could have been. I was at a meeting last week in Los Angeles with the National Association for the Education of Young Children, and there was a woman who was telling me, she said that many of the black voters were afraid to do early balloting because they were afraid that their votes would be thrown away. And that she felt that the organization of voting was not nearly as well orchestrated or coordinated as it had been with President Obama. And there were also many Hispanic voters who felt the same way, that it was getting the minority votes out to the polls was not successful, but getting the people who were Trump supporters out, they had a very good system.
Do you believe the pro-life campaign, pro-choice campaign, actually impacted on Hillary Clinton, who is in favour of abortion?
In this way, the way that I think it had the impact was they were very well organised and they got out to vote. And if I think in the coming days, what you're going to find out is that it was the people who voted in very high numbers and high percentages is what made it a certainty that Trump won. I also think that the Hispanic vote, if it had been a little better organized in Texas, I think that we would be talking about President Clinton right now and not President Trump.
Do you think Trump can unite Americans? Because the Democrats are in the doldrums, to say the least.
I don't think that Trump can unite Americans. However, I think Americans can go back to grassroots and we can unite ourselves, I hope.
Okay, Caroline, appreciate you calling us from America. Thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the program. It's Caroline, who's in America, but who teaches at Queen's University. I'm going to speak to Malachy O'Doherty, who's got some points to make on this, and I'm going to take some more of your calls as well. Malachy on line one. Malachy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Malachy, you were someone who appeared on this program many times over the last number of weeks, and you hadn't a good word to say about Donald Trump. Now, when I remind people of some of the things that he said, that people are almost accusing me of being you. You must be shell-shocked this morning.
Well, certainly I was stunned and emotional. I find it very upsetting. I do think that there is the weighting on which his supporters and his opponents put for instance, his anti-women behaviour and his racism. The weighting that those different communities or those different sides give to that is different. People like Alan are able to say, "Oh, you know, I don't want to quote him because I don't remember his precise words," but it clearly it doesn't weigh very much in the balance for him. He's and for many of those who voted for Trump, it didn't significantly weigh in the balance. One of the first people who was interviewed on the BBC this morning, as the results were clearly coming through, was a Muslim, for Trump, a member of an organization called Muslims for Trump. And there are many women who voted for Trump, and there are many Latinos who voted for Trump. So clearly, us white liberals, baby boomers, who grew up in a world in which it really is quite unacceptable to be sexist and racist and whatever. We take these things very seriously. A lot of other people don't take them seriously at all, and they judge him differently. I think it's also quite interesting that Trump came out in his speech today and this morning when he acknowledged his victory, or when he was declaring his victory, and he was courteous about Hillary, and he was courteous about the other Republicans that he had fought in the primaries. I mean, he sounded almost like Carl Frampton after a bout, when he's beaten somebody and he's saying, well, he's a good guy. In the days before, it's all the eyeballing and it's all the scowling and the rudeness, but when it's done, it's, hey, sure, it was just a fight, what the hell, you're a lovely guy.
But Maliki, who's going to run America? Is it the guy who says you're a lovely guy, he's all round and we'll all work together? Or is it that outspoken maverick who was on the hustings?
Well, we don't know. I mean, the problem is that he has got no political experience. The Republicans have got the Congress and the Senate, so they're the representatives of both houses of Congress. So there's, the Republican Party, the GOP, as they call it, will run America for the next few years. Of the issues that Trump committed himself to, it's very hard to accept that Congress would endorse that. I don't think there'll be a wall, to shut out Mexico, simply because I don't think Congress would approve that. But there are things which a president can do on his own initiative. Clinton, for instance, fired cruise missiles on his own initiative. Obama referred to Congress when he wanted to attack Syria over the chemical weapons, but he didn't need to. Congress told him, "But you have the power to do that yourself. What are you bringing us into it for?" He can appoint the Supreme Court judges, and he will appoint his own cabinet. He will appoint the secretaries of state and the treasurer and everything. So he will add a great deal to the character of modern America. He will determine very much the direction it takes in many ways, but he will not get his way in everything, even with a Republican Party. Remember, this is a Republican Party that a month ago was running away from him, was refusing to finance his polling or his rallies because of his disgraceful language about how he grabs women. So that Republican Party includes people who will be happy this morning that they have got the reins of power, and who will be very surprised that they've got the reins of power. But they will not give Donald Trump free rein to do everything as he wishes. I do think it was quite interesting in Trump's speech. I mean, a lot of it was, and this is true of Hillary's as well, mad generalizations, no specifics at all in what he would do. And then you played it again, and then I caught it, It talks about America will be second to none and all the rest of it. But he gave a very Keynesian vision of what he will do for the economy, that he will rebuild the infrastructure, and put millions to work. Now, that's a clear policy statement. It's a reaction. It's an anti-austerity reaction. I mean, obviously, he wants to cut taxes as well, so why is he going to do this? But he has made a clear, if you were poor and living in Kentucky or in Mississippi, and a guy who was a misogynist and a racist was also offering you a job, then I think that might explain why you would want to vote for him and why you would put him in power. But I mean, a lot of America is reacting in shock. Already, David Remnick, one of the senior editors of the New Yorker, a man who came to Northern Ireland a lot, and I met many times in Northern Ireland. And I mean, when I spoke to David once, we were talking about journalism, and he talked about the importance of there being a voice on the fence, you know, that looks at two sides of an issue. David Remnick this morning, you know, is using the most. I mean, he's saying this is a shaming event for America, that one can only react with revulsion and profound anxiety. He says that Trump is vulgarity unbounded. You know, so when the, you know, when some of the best minds in the country, you know, some of the most seasoned political observers are throwing balance and, you know, to the wind, and objectivity and throwing it to the wind, and are saying things like that, then you really are in a political climate and in a cultural climate which is unprecedented, certainly in my lifetime anyway, or yours.
And finally, maybe briefly, Malik, as far as Northern Ireland's concerned, a lot of people here would have thought that Clinton would have been a bit of a friend of Northern Ireland. As for Trump, does he even know where we are?
I doubt he knows where we are, though if he follows his tweets, he'll see one from Mike Nesbitt this morning. You know, Mike is the first to congratulate him. I mean, Angela Merkel hasn't congratulated him. Theresa May hasn't congratulated him. Nobody, none of the world leaders, you know, they're standing back appalled and shocked and not knowing how they're going to relate to this. But there's Mike in there. Like a ferret up a drain, and you know he's you know, but I doubt if Trump will get so far down his tweets to read that one.
Interesting analysis, Maliki. Thank you very much.